Here are a few job descriptions that are rather funny. I found this from the internet, of course. Pizza delivery man, his job description is to go to strange people's house and take their money. I like the second one. Movie theater concession stand attendant, sell gluttony. Why is that their popcorn tastes better than our homemade popcorn? A lot of butter, a lot of salt. Great way to clog up the artery, but it tastes good. Next one, transportation design civil engineer. Draw plans for something that will not be built according to those plans. Divorce lawyer, help people hate each other. Here's another description for the job. Baseball umpire, stand on a field, get yelled at for hours. Product technical writer, write a word that no one wants to read. Any of you like to read a manual? A friend of mine, you do? There's always some psycho in the country. Sorry, Manny. A friend of mine has a son. Talk about analytical. This guy, he doesn't even open the rest of the package. He opened up the manual, and he corrected all the grammar first. You're kidding me, right? Anyway. The last one, I love this one. Stay-at-home mom of the three little children, be a human napkin. Ladies, you know what it means, right? When a person gets a job, the first thing that person is told is the job description, what he's supposed to do, what the company expects them to do. If that person follows that job description, he will be recognized as a good employee. But if he doesn't, either he will be reprimanded or will be fired. Have you ever thought about your job description as a born-again Christian? And you're thinking, it's a job? And we are supposed to do something? Yeah, you're supposed to do something. What kinds of work does your God, Lord Jesus Christ, expecting you to accomplish before you go to heaven? What are you supposed to do? And how are you going to do that? With whose power? This morning we are going to see Jesus giving commissions to 70 of his disciples. He's sending them out with his authority around that region. And then he expects them to do something special. Not for themselves, but rather for the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about that. We're going to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's prepare our heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we are about to receive. You speak to our heart, Lord. Anoint our heart. Anoint the one who speaks. We don't want to hear man's what man has in his mind, but we want to hear what you have in mind. Speak to us that what we are supposed to do. Let everyone in this room may clearly understand our job description. It is our job as a born-again Christian that we honor you, glorify you with everything, with every fiber of our being. Empower us, anoint us through the Holy Spirit. We pray for President Trump that he may do what is right in your sight to honor your name. And we are not asking you to make this country in unity, rather make this country to follow you. And we are praying for our soldiers, Marines, sailors and airmen, especially those who are in harm's way. We're asking you to protect them. We already saw the one death of the law enforcement personnel. Father, we are asking you to protect them, keep them safe. And same goes for the firefighters. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, everybody pull out your cell phone. Please, pull out your cell phone. Put it in the vibrate mode. And you don't do that, and your phone rings, you're buying lunch. Chapter 10, Book of Luke, verse 1, please. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into the every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." I want you to note that last verse. "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." Note that, please. This event should not be confused with the one happened the way Jesus sent the 12 of his disciples in chapter 9. Yes, it's a similar assignment, same master. Everything seems same, but it should not be confused. Because chapter 9, we find the 12 disciples were sent. Here, we find the 70 unknown, unnamed disciples were sent out. Chapter 9, the Lord Jesus sent them out in the region of Galilee. Here, he's sending them out around Judea area, in the Jerusalem, southern part of Israel. Speaking of job description, as a Christian, one of them is spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to unbelievers. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, please. First Gospel of the New Testament. Our memory verse. I want you to keep this in your mind. Okay? Keep this in your mind. As a matter of fact, etch in your mind. Because it's the job description for everyone. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Stop there. And some of you are thinking, "You mean, can I baptize someone?" Yes. You don't have to be a pastor to baptize somebody. You come to know someone and you explain to Jesus Christ, and that person said, "Wow, that's great, I accept Jesus Christ in my heart." And truly he did. And he said, "Since we are next to the stream, can we be baptized?" By all means, dunk him in. Just don't hold him underwater too long. You can do that. That's your job. Baptize them, teach them. Okay, go to verse 20. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You're going with the power of the Holy Spirit. However, the majority of Christians think that this kind of job belongs to the pastors, elders, deacons, and evangelists. And they're saying, "We are paying them. They're the one who's supposed to do it." No, it's for everyone. In reality, they don't want to do it. In reality, they are scared to do it. There are three known fears why Christians do not talk about their faith to others. Number one, fear of public speaking. According to Gallup poll, the fear of public speaking exceeds the fear of death in majority of people's mind. I have that problem too, right? Can you tell? God is not telling them, all of us, to do public speaking like a Billy Graham. Rather, one-on-one table talk to someone you know. One-on-one. Not talking about mass evangelism. One-on-one. Second fear, fear of rejection. What if that person do not accept Christ? What if she hate what I tell her? Since nobody wants to be rejected, this is a well-founded fear. However, listen to me, please. It is not your responsibility, nor is it in your capability to save somebody's soul. It's the job of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So keep your finger in the Luke and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. Turn to right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Don't just sit there without turning your Bible. Turn your Bible. How do you know I'm not going to lie to you? Apostle Paul speaking, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It is the Holy Spirit who harvests. He is the one who speaks to their heart so that they may come to know Christ. All right, third fear is the fear of ignorance. The real fear for most Christians is based on their lack of knowledge of the Bible. The lack of knowledge of the Bible. The vast majority of them don't crack the Bible open until Sunday morning. They come to church and they say, okay, it's time to open the Bible, and not before. In some churches, there are more and more churches showing the Bible verses to overhead projection. I choose not to, but I'm going to go against my own principle here pretty soon. They do that so much that they don't even bring the Bible to the church. When you were in school, did you take your textbook to the church, to school? Why? That was demanded, right? That was something that school teacher or professor read from the textbook, so you had to have a textbook to read together. Same thing. You should have a Bible with you all the time when you come to church. And you should have a Bible and reading the Word of God every day. It's a daily bread, not once in a while blue moon bread. Speak to you. God will speak to you through this Word every day if you let Him. We are the one who don't want to hear, and we stick the spiritual banana in our ears and say, I don't hear from you. Really? Get that banana out of your ears and you can hear. And additionally, people think that it's too busy. I don't want to get involved. They don't know how to read people to Christ because they are not prepared and they don't know the scripture as they should. In spite of our general objection, the Lord Jesus Christ gives a commission to all of us. Let me say it one more time. All of us. Can you say that with me? All of us. Turn to your person next to you and say, including me. Say it, including me. That means all of us, right? Everyone should spread the good news of Jesus Christ to those who... Here is a simple step. Some of you, this is the too basic. But some of you never heard. This you can lead a person to Christ. Here's a simple step you can utilize to tell them about Jesus. Yes, it takes a little bit of effort for you to memorize the verses. But if you can memorize song lyrics, especially country song, that's a long one, and some of you are oldies, if you can memorize American Pie, that lasts about over 5 minutes, you can memorize this one. First step, let the unbeliever realize that not everyone goes to heaven. For your convenience, we have a Bible verse on the screen. John 3:3. Jesus then said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Second step, let the person know that our good work will not meet God's standard. Let's recite the next verse together. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Third step, let the person know the result of his or her sin, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 6:23. For the wage of the sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Fourth step, let him or her know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. John 14:6. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Fifth step. Let him or her know the reason that God prepared all this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. Final step. Now we're going to close the sale here. Let the person accept Christ into his or her heart by committing one's life. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Step by step. Very simple way to leading person to Christ. Additionally, can I borrow your bulletin? In your bulletin, on the left side, there is how to lead a person to Christ. Maybe cut this off and put it in your wallet, on your purse. You ladies have just about everything except the kitchen sink in your purse. You can add one more. I said this many, many times. Do you know what's better than going to heaven? Taking someone with you. Another very important thing in the witnessing is your own testimony. It may not be polished. You may not win Pulitzer's Award for literacy. But it is a living proof of what Jesus has done in your life, if your life can reflect the change. If you get a rejection, that's okay. Because you did what the Lord led you to do, and He's pleased because you were obedient to Him. Verse 3, remember? Let's go back to verse 3. Luke chapter 10, verse 3. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. You know, verse 3 is a rather sobering verse for those who serve the Lord. Anyone who takes Jesus Christ seriously becomes the target of the evil. But most Christians do not even, they don't give Satan enough trouble to arouse his opposition. However, the blessing from the Lord is so much more than all the harassment we would get from Satan. And you may say, oh, I get harassment, I get attacked from Satan all the time. Maybe you are doing something right in the kingdom. Or maybe you are just doing awful wrong things against the Lord and you are being corrected by Him. Go down to verse 4 of chapter 10, please. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals. And greet no one along the roads. Note that word, please. No one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such a things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever the city you enter and they receive you, eat such a things as are set before you. And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Stop there, please. I see the three things. The guideline we must follow in the ministry. Number one, depend on the Lord, not people, nor material things. Our survival, our life depends on the Lord, not on the things nor people we meet along the way. By the way, during the Jesus time, the first century, greeting is lengthy. They had to go through a certain procedure. It's more like a visit because it's so long. And it can waste the people's time and energy. That's why Jesus said, don't waste your time on greeting people. Just move on. There is an urgency in God's work. We have very little time left before the soon coming Lord. Maybe you think you have another 40 years. Maybe, especially young people, you have 40 years, 50 years. And we old people have maybe 5 years will be good. Listen up. We may not even have that much. There's not a one prophecy, as I mentioned before. There's not a single prophecy need to be fulfilled before the rapture happens. Lord comes to get His children. If you are not born again, guess what? If the rapture happened right now here, if you are not born again Christian, you will be left. Second guideline, distribute the peace of God, not man's. Peace of God can be revoked very easily. If something bad happened, all of a sudden your idea of peace just went out the window. But the peace of God will exceed anyone's expectation and circumstance all the time. Our Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is whom the people... If you have a peace of God, will keep you in tranquility because it passes all understanding, will guard your heart. You can be in the knee-deep, neck-deep trouble and you can still rejoice in God. Third guideline, trust the Lord to provide what we need. I've seen one too many Christian, especially TV evangelists, abuse their position for their financial gain. Verse 7 through 9 brings out the important point to all church congregation. Some Christians think that to keep their pastor humble, that he had to be broken financially all the time. That's the reason why half of the pastors in America living below poverty line. I'm not saying that too, so I can get more money from the church. I get paid enough by the permission from the Lord through the board's approval. I have a second job. So I'm not asking you to raise more money for me. Find out how much, if you go to another church, find out how much that pastor gets paid. And ask yourself, if I can make a living with that, why do you expect some pastors should make a living with the less than what you have and living on the food stamp? There are a lot of pastors who are living on food stamp. That's wrong. At the same time, pastors should not make a six, seven-figure salary either. I don't agree. Pastor Chuck Smith, late Pastor Chuck Smith, just on the sideline, he saw one of the pastors drove Lexus to the pastor's conference. Boy, he had him for lunch. Verse 10. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its street and say, the very dust of your city which cling to us, we wipe off against you. And nevertheless, know this, that kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day of Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in the Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in the sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment, than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hear you, hear me. He who reject you, reject me. And he who reject me, reject him who sent me. Stop there again. God doesn't expect us to dispense his judgment. In other words, you don't call unbeliever, okay, you're going to go to hell. That's not nice, right? Walk away. See, Tyre and Sidon, they are hidden people. They watched many multi-gods at the time, gods. Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, they saw what Jesus Christ could do. Instead of repenting and accepting him as the Lord and Savior, they stuck their nose up to him and ignored him. I hope none of you are that way. The point is this. Don't take it personally when people reject God's message. He's the one whom they are rejecting. As Jesus said, shake their harsh word off your feet like a dust and move on to someone who is more receptive. More often than not, people reject Jesus because of their own obnoxious manner and holier-than-thou attitude. When you go to someone who is not a believer of Jesus Christ, don't go there with an attitude. You and I once were heathen, remember? We are unbelievers, we were sinners, and we still are. We are only forgiven by the grace of God. Unbelievers are not saved, folks, but they are not stupid. If they see that we love them and care about their souls, they would be open to you, and next time when we approach them with the word of God again. Go down to verse 17, please. Then 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, note the next phrase, please. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpent and scorpion and over all the power of enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Get that, please. Underline, highlight, circle. Do not rejoice in this. What is this? That you can do a miracle. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the power of Jesus. But do not rejoice in this. But the Spirit are subject to you, and rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen? How exciting it must have been that 70 had the authority that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. They prayed for the person who are crippled, the person who are sick, and they were healed right on the spot. I'm sure it was exciting. And the person who was a demon-possessed, Gary mentioned a scary person in the park, demon-possessed person. Karen and I were at the home mission church in downtown Five Point. We encounter demon-possessed person frequently. That was a part of the surrounding, part of the culture. They had the power to cast out demons from people because their authority came from Jesus Christ. But the Lord cautioned them and us that true joy should be in Jesus Christ, not what happens around our lives. What did Jesus mean when he said in verse 18, go back to verse 18, I saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven. Bible actually mentioned the four falls of Satan. First fall is from the glorified to the profane. I list the Bible verses for you. I want you to go home and make sure I'm not speaking lie. Ezekiel and Isaiah. Second fall, from having access to heaven to restrict to the earth. Job 1, 1 Kings 22, Zechariah 3, Revelation chapter 12. Go check these verses, okay? Third fall, from the earth to the bondage in the bottomless pit for the 1,000 years after the tribulation, after the Lord come back to earth, Revelation chapter 20. And the final fall, out of the pit short while, and but into the lake of fire once and for all, permanently. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. In this case, Satan's first fall is the first one. Satan, listen to me please, Satan is a conquered enemy. When we act in the name of Jesus, victory is assured. Okay? Don't say, I cannot win against Satan. Temptation is too real, too strong. Walk away from temptation. It's that simple. Are you with me on that? Some people get drunk, intoxicated on the idea of spiritual power and miracle, especially Pentecostal or high charismatic denominations, hooping and hollering, rolling on the ground, and barking like an animal, and laughing. I saw one video on YouTube. It was not even pretty. That's not how the Lord operates. We should not be intoxicated with God's power, but rather, after God used them in a special way, we have sometimes as Christians have an arrogance. If God is using you, don't get all hyped up. God is using you to bring people to Christ, or God is using you to minister to people, counsel people, and they turn their lives to you, Christ. Please, think this. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. So why would we think that it has anything from us made the person's life change? Do not be intoxicated with something happening in another person's life. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. Only one person can change, and only one person we should boast about. His name is Jesus Christ, not yours. Amen? Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good to your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one whom the Son will to reveal him. Verse 23, then he turned to his disciples and said privately, and blessed are these things that you see. Verse 24, for I tell you that many prophets and the kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Out of millions of people throughout the history, these 12 people, 12 disciples were selected to see the Son of God up close and perform the miracle and heard intimate things that no one ever heard. These are the things the great prophets of the Old Testament and kings only dreamed to hear. Then they heard. Guess what? We also are privileged to know Jesus Christ personally. And the incarnated and resurrected Christ through the Word of God. That's why we emphasize so much about this book. Do you want to know the Jesus Christ? Here's the book. This is the voice of God. Only way you can hear is opening this book and read. Every day. Are you with me on that? Two applications. Number one, we should consider it as our utmost honor and privilege to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the people around us. It's not a drag, folks. I get all excited whenever I have a chance to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. I never used the drug before. Not once. So I don't know what it's like to be high on drug. But talk about spiritual high when I see a person coming to know Christ. Second application. When we step out and do what the Jesus tells us to do, we should expect that He would bless us even more than He told us to expect. Above and beyond, abundantly. We are the one who limit that blessing from Him. Amen?